Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Fantasy Football Huddle. Yes, if you tuned in to hear The Balance, you are in the right spot. We are a spinoff of The Balance, and The Balance usually will be airing right at this time. But we air Fantasy Football Huddle during this time, during the all-important fantasy football season at 8:30. If Kevin can join us, we'll go ahead and go and do the last half hour of The Balance. If not, we cap it off at 8:30. So just a little programming note on that. You know, make a note. We do that every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, right here on Blog Talk Radio. My name's Tom. Welcome to Fantasy Football Huddle. Well, it's getting exciting out there, guys. I hope that you are ready for the bye week, because I'm going to tell you, if you're not, your scores are severely going to be punished by that action. And it's like putting your hand on a hot burner. You're only going to do it once, boys and girls. Let me tell you that. If you've got Dallas Cowboys, Washington Redskins, Minnesota Vikings, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, anybody on those teams, defense, offense, kicker, set them and find somebody on your bench or on the waiver wire. Well, it's time for Fantasy Football Inside the Match. Well, each and every week we break down a couple games that we think are going to be key games in the league and what's going to be going on in those leagues and how that affects your fantasy football team. So let's jump right into it. Colts at the Jags. Well, boys and girls, what can I say that hasn't already been said? Peyton Manning makes everyone around him look like a stud. Any receiver in this offense has a potential fantasy start at any given week. So what I'm trying to say is, if you got Peyton Manning or one of his link-up receivers, you might want to just go ahead and look at putting him in there. How about that? How about White? How about Colley? How about, I mean, you got your pick. Come on, boys and girls. If you got a Colt player, it's pretty safe that you're gonna play him. I know Pierre Garçon is battling an injury there, so we'll have to see what's going on. It appears to be a matchup for a fan. Okay, let's try. It's still a little early in the morning. This appears to be a fantasy dominance for the Colts. I mean, and I'm not just saying that because, hey, the Colts are my boys. I'm just saying that they're playing the Jags. Jags really don't bring it every week, haven't been bringing it. So I'm just going to say that if you've got Peyton Manning, if you've got one of his link-up receivers, you probably want to go ahead and play them. I mean, the Jags defense currently ranks 31st in the league in points allowed in opposing quarterbacks. Come on. It's not rocket science here. Having allowed more than 290 yards to every passer they face, along with a total of 7 touchdowns, it's scary to think about what Peyton Manning might do. He is going to tear it up, boys and girls. Oh, I'm just glad that the guy I'm playing, it doesn't have Peyton Manning. At least I hope not. I got to go back and double check that. Hey, by the way, just another note, we are live today, so if you want to give us a call here on the show, you're more than welcome to do that. And we'll get that. And we're also on Blog Talk Radio on the chat. So you can also shoot us a chat and so forth. And the number to give us a call is 917-889-8516. We are live today, so go ahead and give us a call. Give us your feedback on your fantasy team, who you're playing, who you're setting. Again, that's 917-889-8516. You can also find us on Facebook under The Balance. You can also tweet us under T-Balance, or, of course, send us the infamous email at tbalance@ymail.com. Well, guys, I tell you what, like I said, the Colts are going to dominate the Jags, and I just, you know, we've got the running game there, which is, you know, has always been a strength for the Colts anyway. You know, they've got a weak point there, so, you know, it'll be a slow start for the running game, and I think they'll come around with it. If you've got Peyton Manning, here's my predictions, okay? Peyton Manning's going to pass for 355 yards or so, four touchdowns, and I think he's going to get an interception this week. Joseph Addai, I think he's going to get 50 yards rushing. I don't think he's going to get a touchdown this week. I don't think he's going to get it in the end zone. He's going to get 20 yards receiving. You know what? I'm going to retract this statement. He might get one touchdown. We'll give him one touchdown. One touchdown for Joseph Addai. Donald Brown, I think he's going to get no more than 25 yards. I don't expect him either to get into the end zone there, 5 yards receiving. Reggie Wayne, I think he's going to get 120 so yards receiving, one touchdown. Austin Colley, I cannot say enough about that boy. He is on fire. So we're going to say, I'm going to say 100 yards receiving, maybe a little less, 85 or 90 yards, but he's going to be in that ballpark. He's definitely going to get his at least one touchdown, if not two. My boy, number 44, Dallas Clark. I tell you what, they come at him with both barrels, but I think that he's still going to get in the end zone and at least get 70 or 80 yards. So that's the breakdown on the running game and so forth there. Now, just taking a little quick look at the Jaguars, you know, the season started off pretty strong for David Girard, and, you know, he threw for three touchdowns with no interceptions and went in the week one victory over the Broncos. Unfortunately, week two and three have been significantly worse, and Girard has thrown just one touchdown to five interceptions over the Jaguars' past two games, both issues while failing to even pass for 200 yards. So the Colts are going to dominate here in this game, and I think that, you know, if you want to look a little bit on their running game, David Girard's going to get about maybe 170 yards or so. He's going to probably get one touchdown, two interceptions, 15 yards rushing. That's just me. Now, Maurice Jones-Drew, now that's my guy. I got him starting, and when we break down the start him and set him, I certainly would go ahead and start Maurice Jones-Drew. I think he's still going to get 95 to 100 yards for you. I think he's still going to get a touchdown, 40 yards receiving. I think that 40 to 50 yards receiving is pretty reliable by him. So, I will go ahead and start him. We'll go ahead and break that down when we get to the breakdown of the positions here a little bit later on in fantasy football huddle. Mike Thomas, 35 yards receiving. I think he's going to get in the end zone. And then Mercedes Lewis, I would say he's going to get no more than 35 yards. My prediction, ladies and gentlemen, Indianapolis 34, Jacksonville 17. You heard it from me first, right here on Fantasy Football Huddle. Another game I want to break down here for you is got a couple really good matchups. I tell you what, we've got some winless teams coming in, and they're gonna try to bring it, and we're gonna see what happens there. But what I wanted to break, the game that I really wanted to take a look at, as soon as I can get my page up here, is I really wanted to take a look at them St. Louis Rams. I tell you what, they're going to be over there in Seattle. I mean, Seattle's going to be in town. I tell you, it's going to be a rough game, but I've been intrigued. I've been very intrigued by the St. Louis Rams. Yes, I know. It's been a while since we've had the opportunity to talk about them Rams. But I like it. They're doing some good stuff over there. I'm not too eager to jump on the Ram bandwagon or anything like that. But I just think that they have a potential to have a moderately good season, and any season that they have will be better than the seasons that they've had in the past. So I think that we're in a situation here where we're going to see a good opportunity for the Rams and the Seahawks to have a good matchup. So I wanted to make that another game of the week before we get into the breakdowns of the stardom and settings. Of course, you know, you can obviously we don't have time in 30 minutes to break down all the games. But I wanted to always like to take one game from the AFC and one game from the NFC. And I know you Colt haters are going to say, he's always going to break down the Colts. Well, Probably. Well, that's just going to be a side item, but we won't break them down in the breakdown. Each week, I promise you, we'll do somebody different than the Colts in the AFC. We'll try to get all the teams broke down each and every week. But this week, we did Jacksonville and Indianapolis over there in the AFC. In the NFC, we're going to do the Seahawks and the Rams. I'll tell you what, Matt Hasselbeck and the Seahawks have proved to be a tough at home beating the Niners and the Chargers so far. If they want to make the season a success, they need to pull out some of them road wins. Who better than the Rams, right? Well, one would think so at the beginning of the season when you're penciling in your wins. But there again, remember what I just said. The Rams are starting to play some football. The Rams are starting to bring it. The Rams are starting to show that they have what it takes. Now, again, not jumping on their bandwagon, but this might be a situation where the Seahawks need to spend some time in the tape room and look at the last few games that the St. Louis Rams have played. So, you know, the Hawks pass attack needs some consistency. Their win was a result of two fluky touchdown returns. Hasselbeck only threw for 220 yards and a touchdown. Tight end John Carlson was the leading target. Deion Branch is more of a threat for big yards and a TD. Tight end John Carlson was not leading the target. Deion Branch is more of a threat for big plays like Mike Williams, who has not done much since the opener. Williams will remain as games playing only wide receiver size. Golden Tate is slowly working his way into relevance. So, boys and girls, I'm just going to tell you that the Seahawks have got to put some things together. I think Matt Hasselbeck is going to get about 250 yards. He's going to get two touchdowns. He's going to get picked off at least one time. Deion Branch, 50 yards, no touchdown. Mike Williams, 45 yards. I think he's going to get one touchdown for you. John Carlson, 70 yards, one touchdown. Justin Forsett, 65 yards, 20 to 25 yards receiving. I think he's going to get in the end zone as well. Now, that said, I know that I have said, hey, the Rams have been playing some good football. I'm still not convinced that the Rams are going to win this game. I just don't think that it's going to be a blowout, and I just think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to have to buckle down and really pay attention to what's going on over there in St. Louis. Here's the thing. The Rams get Seattle at home following a nice win last week over McNabb. I mean, Donovan McNabb, anytime you can win over Donovan McNabb, I don't care if he's wearing a red jersey or a green jersey. That's something to brag about. That's something to look at. I repeat, they beat the Redskins, led by potential Hall of Fame quarterback. Come on now, guys. I know. Shut up about the Rams. A QB Sam Bradford is becoming a star, guys and girls. He's bringing it, and we all knew that he would. I mean, if you remember back when he was in the Heisman running and the Heisman Trophy and, you know, all the college tapes, of course, you know, not everybody watches college football, so maybe not everybody watched Sam Bradford in college like I did. But I'm going to tell you, he had the potentials way back to be a superstar. St. Louis loves him out there. They've embraced him. They've needed a quarterback for some time now. So I think that we'll see what happens. They've got Steven Jackson out there who did practice this week. I think he has a groin injury. He'll be limited to play. So, the Seahawks will probably take advantage of Jackson not being in the game. So if you have Steven Jackson this week, I'd go ahead and set him. I would not play him. His replacement, Kenneth Darby. Darby has never really, in my opinion, been highly regarded with someone that can have a burst out. So, that said, if you've got Steven Jackson, you need to set him and probably find somebody better to play there. Sam Bradford, I think, is going to get you 300 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. I think maybe he'll get picked off twice. We'll have to see how the Seattle defense does. In my opinion, they're just so inconsistent. One week they've got it, and you can expect a pick off or two, and some weeks you're like, okay, well, maybe not this week, okay? Mark Clayton, 80 yards, he's going to get in the end zone. Danny Amelia, 75 yards. Daniel NFL, 45 yards. Like I said, Steven Jackson, Kenneth Darby, I don't know who's going to go in there. I wouldn't play Steven Jackson. I mean, they might play him. You make that a game-time decision on your own. You're all big boys. But what I'm saying, if you want Tom's advice, I'm just saying, if you want Tom's advice, set Steven Jackson and Kenneth Darby. I don't know that he's on any fantasy league out there anyway, but we're going to head ahead and just give him 65 yards, rushing 30 yards, receiving, and he'll get in the end zone as well. And breaking up there St. Louis, here's my prediction. I think, I know you guys saw this one coming. You saw it coming. Wait for it. St. Louis 24, Seattle 20. St. Louis wins. Seattle scratching their head and saying, what? WTF? Seriously? Okay, guys. We will be right back. And when we get back, we're going to break down this week's Set 'em and Start 'em. Welcome back, boys and girls, to Fantasy Football Huddle. I'm glad that you're here. If you've tuned in to Hear the Balance, you know that what we do every Saturday morning, we run Fantasy Football Huddle. You can tweet us at T-Balance. You can find us on Facebook under The Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. You can also log on here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also join our chat room here, and we'll be glad to chat with you about anything that you've got going on and so forth. So we would love to hear from you and hear what you've got to say. So you can also call us live. If you want, you can call us live, and the number there to call us live would be 917-889-8516. All right, boys and girls, here's what you've waited for. Who do I start? Who do I sit? All right, who I love, who I hate this year, this week. I tell you, here's the thing. Guys, you are the team owner. You run that team. Now, if I give you some wrong advice, it's because I don't know what the heck I'm talking about. I'm just a dude that talks about football. Come on now. Do your research. Right? Do your analysis. But if you are going to rely on me, here's some people that I would go with. And by the way, my advice is pretty reliable right here on Fantasy Football Huddle because I am the host. I am the man. And if you want the right information, you are in the right spot right here on Fantasy Football Huddle. Let's go right into week four, the Dolphins. Check Chad Henne. Henne me up. Henne for your thoughts. All right, enough of the puns. Yeah, okay. Not an ideal joke. It is a bye week. Again, remember, if you've got a Dallas Cowboy, if you've got a Washington Redskin, a Minnesota Viking, or a Tampa Bay Buccaneer, they need to be setting. So, a little bit more tolerant these days. If you need a Romo replacement this week, go with Chad Henne. I like Henne against every young Patriots secondary. It seems like New England secondary is still a little weak. I know, that's New England, but I'm just saying. Am I saying that New England secondary is a little weak? I think that's what I just said. I'm not impressed this year, and if you are, I want to hear your thoughts. TBalanceYmail.com. Chat me. Give me a call. Give me reasons why I shouldn't think that the Patriots secondary isn't a little weak in the knees right now, which means there could be some nice yards out there catches as well. You know Miami got to throw to keep up with New England's offense. Now, remember I said secondary is a little weak. The offense, you got to throw to keep up with their points that they're going to put on the board. So Chad Henne can throw the ball, and I think that he is going to be a a good QB in a bye week for you to put in there with the Dolphins. Let's go over there. QB, Raider QB, Bruce Gradkowski. I'm going to tell you 19 fantasy points, and, you know, that's the lowest total to which the Texans have had held an opposing quarterback this year. The game is in Oakland, which should also help. Again, bye week quarterbacks here. So, you know, we'll see on how that plays out. But, you know, I like him playing. Carson Palmer down there in Cincy. I tell you what, you know that Joan Jett song, "I Hate Myself for Loving You." Okay, you do not want me to sing. That's why I host the show. What I'm trying to say to you is welcome to me and Carson Palmer this week. Starting, he's your guy. Now, I'm not saying that he's your super stud for the year. I'm saying he's your guy for week four. And I'm usually not a fan, and the Browns play better. Play Carson Palmer. Mark Sanchez down there in the Jets. I actually thought I was really going to like Sanchez this year, but probably not. As you can see, there are a lot of guys out there in this mid-tier this week. Anyways, Sanchez should move up, and I would go ahead and play him again if you've got to. And what we're talking about this week, guys, is what I'm trying to focus in on and trying to get you to think about, if you haven't already picked up on, what I'm trying to point in your direction, that if you've got a quarterback that's on a bye week and you've got a replacement and it's one of these replacements, that's who to go with. Now, I'm not saying if you got Peyton Manning, start Mark Sanchez over Peyton Manning. Come on, guys. You know that's not what I'm saying to you. I know you're my little lambs. I'm your flock shepherd, but come on. If you get lost out there and a lion gets you, I'll do my best to rescue you. But come Sunday, you're on your own. You're on your own. Let's talk a little bit about the running backs. LG in that green uniform, I like him. I like him. I was a little worried about how his year was going to turn out. But it looks like, you know, he's got a good chance to again be LaDainian Tomlinson, and we all know what he can do. So go ahead and play him. I'm not gonna swing on the LT swing too much. Ronnie Brown with the Dolphins. Brown loves Monday Night Football. In three career games, he averages 106 yards. He has 2 rushing yards in the past 2 Monday Night Football games. He's averaging better than a 5-yard carry, and you know, you'll see him in some wildcat format or whatever. So, Ronnie Brown with the Dolphins. You need to be starting him. Running back with the Patriots, Ben Jarvis, Green, Ellis. Can we add another name there? Jeez, a picture's worth 1,000 words. I tell you what. So, those are some of the people that I like this year. Now, what I want to do is tell you who I don't like. I don't like Matt Schaub and the Texans. And you say, oh, Tom, you just don't like him because what he did to your boys down there in Houston. Okay, as a fan, I don't like Matt Schaub. As an analysis, as somebody that's telling you this week, week four, I still don't like Matt Schaub. I still have him in the top 10, so you're most likely to start him. But I'd pull in the reins a little bit this week, boys and girls. Schaub has been a disappointment this year with his single-digit fantasy points. So he's not making a lot of fantasy points for you. They're winning ball games. They are. I'll give him that. But at the same time, don't start him. I don't like Joe Flacco with the Ravens. I like him, but I wouldn't start him. Not against Pittsburgh. Come on. Pittsburgh, Flacco, nope. Not a good matchup. Again, this is just my opinion. This is just Tom's opinion right here on Fantasy Football Huddle. You do what you want, boys and girls. I'm just a shepherd. You're the little lambs. If you go out and do your own thing and you get caught on the ledge and the lion gets you, That's all I can say to you. I don't even like Ray Rice this week, running back with the Ravens. If you've got Ray Rice, he's been banged up, been on the road. You need some rest. And so give him that rest, because he's not going to be who you need. Darren McFadden with the Raiders. You know, here's the thing. I know a lot of people still have him as a starter and as a top 10 player, and you know, I'm sure that maybe a lot of people right here say, hey, whoa, what are you talking about? That's Darren McFadden with the Raiders. I know who he is. I just don't think he's a monster. I don't think that he is going to give us this week in week four what you need in fantasy points. So I don't like it. Benny Wells with the Cardinals. I actually thought he looked terrific in his first game back last week, but that was at home against Oakland, not on the road at San Diego. I think he's going to still split some time with the Hightower out there, the high ride. No. Do not start Beanie. That's just, again, Tom's opinion. Marshall Lynch, running back with the Bills. I realize, guys, he's the workhorse out there. He's getting the touches. You know, but against the Jets, kind of like the fastest kid in fat. I know, I shouldn't say the fastest kid in fat camp. I know. Fat camp really helped me develop my self-esteem. Well, all right, I'll leave the fat kid, the young kid in fat camp running fast. Joke out. Don't start Marshawn Lynch this week, boys and girls. Just let him go. Let him sit on the bench. Fred Taylor, running back with the Patriots. This is my present to you. I pimped him all along, and he does start games, but he fails to finish. Don't start him. Don't start Fred Taylor. By letting him here, I'm just telling you, this is not a good matchup week for him. And some of the wide receivers that I don't like, I don't like Lance Moore with the Saints. I don't like any of the Broncos wide receivers. You got a Bronco wide receiver, find you something else. They proved nothing to me this time around. So I just want you to know to do that. And guys, hey, we're coming up on the end of Fantasy Football Huddle here. It looks like we're not going to be joined by Kevin. So we're live today. We'll be back next week at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. For the Fantasy Football Huddle. So just make sure that you tune in right here on Blog Talk Radio. Like I said, we run Fantasy Football Huddle for sure. And the balance will be determined if we do that extra half hour or not, if Kevin can join it. That's just during the football season. So we'll see what's going on. But perhaps maybe I do have Kevin getting ready to join us. I'm not sure yet. We're going to keep trying to find that out. I'll tell you what, we'll be right back after this message, and we'll let you know if Kevin's going to join us or not. And welcome back to Fantasy Football Huddle. I did get some information from Kevin there at the last minute. Kevin, I don't know why, and he's not on yet. He's getting mic'd up. But I'm going to tell you what. We can't have these close-minute calls, right, boys and girls? I had you all cheesed up and thinking that we weren't going to go into the balance. But we will go into the balance. We're in here very, very shortly, and we're going to be talking about college football today. We're also going to be talking about NASCAR, and I'm sure Kevin's going to want to brag about his infamous Phillies, who won the division out there in the National League East. Yes, again. So we'll wait on Kevin, and as soon as Kevin jumps in here, we will join the balance live here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you can find us on The Balance under Facebook, The Balance. You can also tweet us under TBalance@ymail.com. You can email us at tbalance@ymail.com. What is wrong with me today? And you can also find us on okay, I'm trying to do two things here at one time. I'm not the king of multitasker. I am just the know-it-all sports guy. I'm running the switchboard. I'm running the buttons here. I'm trying to get Kevin all mic'd up. So give us just a second. We'll be right back with some the balance coming up right up after this. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Huddle. We'll be joining the balance here right away here. Kevin, are you there?
I am there.
All right. Hey, welcome to the show, Kevin. We were beginning to wonder if you were going to join us or not today. Hey, I wanted to also tell you congratulations on your graduation. I hear you are now are you an official chef now? Is that what you are, or? Are you there? Kevin? Hello? Kevin? Hello, Kevin?
Yes.
All right, boys.
I am here.
Kevin, are you there?
I am here.
All right. Sorry about that. I keep telling you, Kevin, don't give me control of the buttons. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just pushing things. I wanted to tell you congratulations on your graduation. Are you a chef or are you a sous chef? What is your official title?
The official title is chef. I will start working at the Staco Fieldhouse for the Pacers, and hopefully I will become a sous chef, which is the chef in charge of the kitchen.
Well,
that's my goal.
There you go, buddy. There you go. Well, that's congratulations to you. So do we start calling you Chef Kevin, or do we still call you the redneck from Philly?
Oh, redneck from Philly.
Well, hey, redneck from Philly, welcome here. We'll be right back. Late, boys and girls, you are now joining The Balance.
Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs. Okay? This team's going to the playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
We should understand him in. That's a damn coaching mistake, right? The kids are playing their tail off, and the coaches are screwing it up.
You don't have to say any more than that, Brent.
No, you certainly don't, Jack. Very honest assessment. I saw
I'm
you.
I'm a man. I'm sorry. I'm not a kid.
Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. Makes me want to puke.
Welcome, Earthlings. You have stumbled across The Balance, the only internet radio program that gives you a full balance of all sports. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at TBalance. You can also find us on Facebook under The Balance. And make sure you send us your comments to TBalance@ymail.com. Right now, here's your host, Tom and Kevin.
And welcome to The Balance. And those of you that stayed on board after Fantasy Football Huddle, I am so glad that you have joined us today. Kevin, my redneck from Philly, my co-host, the guy who's now going to be my personal chef. Welcome aboard, Kevin. We got a lot to talk about. What's going on?
Not a lot. We got some college football going on today. BYU and Utah was last night. Not your top 25 teams, but it was still some good football. Utah snapped a 10-game streak against BYU and ended up winning. So pretty good football game last night. Of course, we saw Texas A&M play the other day and saw a really good running game with Texas A&M the other day. To me, I think the best football game coming out this week is tonight, Florida and Alabama.
I tell you what, I couldn't agree more. That Florida-Bama game, the Gators, that is always a good matchup. But what we have is, I tell you what, that Alabama team is no joke. And we very well might be looking at the next the next champion of this year. I mean, I think it's not too early to call them national champions for the season. Alabama's playing some good ball, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going on. We've got a lot of games going on, like we said. We got the Florida-Alabama game, which we can break down. We got a really good matchup at 12 o'clock today, Ohio State and Illinois. Do I hear the beginning of the Big Ten season? Is that what's going on there, Kevin? Because you know who Indiana plays today, don't you?
Yes, we're now in the your Big Ten teams are starting to go head-to-head. Another really good game, now you mentioned Big Ten, is going to be Penn State, Iowa.
All right. is that right? Number 22 against number 7, or is it just because you're the redneck from Philly and every team that ever comes out of Pennsylvania? One of these days we're going to have to talk about the Penguins. every team that comes out of Pennsylvania.
At least so, nothing positive.
Nothing positive. So, anyway, I tell you what, we're going to break down some of the Big Ten games, and I know Kevin's going to have the last portion of the show for NASCAR. So for you rednecks that love to talk NASCAR, drinking beer, NASCAR. Kevin, you're going to have the last portion of that show, and I unfortunately, toward the latter part of this show, I will have to bail out. Unfortunately, I'm still not making enough money here at the Balance Studios. I'm going to have to talk to the front office about getting a raise. So I got to work a real job. So I'm going to bail out the latter part of this show. So I do want to get in some college football before I bail. We got Big Ten action, and as you would find that I hear, we'll probably spend a lot of time talking Big Ten. Obviously, you can still give us a call. You can call, the lines are open, 917-889-8516. You can also hit us up in the chat room. You can also hit us up on Facebook under The Balance. One of the games that I wanted to break down, though, is that Indiana-Michigan game. Boys and girls, I don't know if you know this, and I know I'm going to tell you this. Indiana going into the Big Ten is undefeated. Undefeated. Who would have ever heard of IU football being undefeated? That's what I want to know. It's going to be a good, good game down there. And have you had a chance to break that game down at all, Kevin?
Which game is that?
The Indiana-Michigan.
I've looked at it a little bit. I know where you come from, Tom, and I know IU is undefeated. 3-0. You got Michigan at 4-0, but I still gotta say that I don't know if IU's defense could hold down Bernard Robinson.
Now they're playing with the big boys. I understand. Indiana's players and coaches have seen the highlight shows. They know what's going on. They've seen the tape. Like you said, Deshard Robinson is a handful to take down. Just ask them the 19 Michigan first four opponents or the Hoosiers who get the next crack. I'm going to tell you, we're going to do it. IU, Indiana, is going to win this game. I know that's a big stretch, and I understand that.
That is a really big stretch.
I understand part of that is the IU fan coming out in me, but that's just the way it's going to be. I'm gonna go with IU on this game. I know you want to break down the Iowa-Penn State game, and also one of the other things that we're going to break down also, and I wanted to make sure that we get you before I get off this call, Kevin, is your Phillies. How about them? How about them Phillies?
You know, I was watching the game last night. In the beginning, you know, Atlanta was up 1-0. Kind of I was hoping that they weren't falling into the we got it because Rally did feel he could lose every game and still have home field advantage for the National League, the pennant race. But if it broke down last night before the Atlanta game, I'm not real sure where it is now for Atlanta, but as of the beginning last night, Philadelphia would have opened the series up in Cincinnati. So if Atlanta would have opened up the series at home against San Francisco. San Diego. I'm not sure the how exactly that's going to break down with the Phillies and the playoffs and everything else. The good thing is whoever wins the National League does have home field advantage for the World Series. With National League winning the All-Star game, that is a good thing for National League teams this year.
Okay, that sounds great. Hey, Kevin, I tell you what. I want to hear this breakdown of the Iowa-Penn State game. Go ahead and break that in. Go ahead and break down some of these other games. I'm going to let you have control of the master control. You are now the master controller. Go ahead, Kevin. Go ahead and break down that game.
I got it. We're looking right now that, one of the – Big Ten is always good games. When Big Ten plays each other, it's always hard-hitting, and you got to throw out rankings. This is the first time Iowa in a long time has found themselves being the choice to win and expected to beat Penn State. Last couple years, Iowa was the underdog. This year, it's now Penn State being the underdog, and that kills me to say that Joe Paterno's teams are underdogs. Nittany Lions right now, we are starting. Still got a true freshman. And they're in a stadium where Penn State hasn't won since 1999. So you're looking at 11 years since they've won. And unfortunately, with the true freshman, it's a rough stadium to go into, some pretty good tough circumstances. So, both coaches think that the game's going to hinge on a key play. Neither one feels that it is going to be a runaway from either one. So you're looking at last year, for example, Iowa trailed 10-5 early in the fourth quarter and then blocked a punt and returned 53 yards for a touchdown to win the game at the end of the fourth quarter. So it's going to be a tough challenge for Penn State. I'm really hoping that the true freshman will be able to come in and eventually, figure out how to be a good college quarterback. So he has his things. And we do have one thing right now helping a true freshman is Evan Royster. He's right now almost there to break Kurt Warner's record for career yards. So we got some good things going. If Royster could light the field up and take some pressure off of our quarterback Bolden, Penn State has a chance to win that game. So a lot of it just depends on the quarterback play. The other games, in the top 25 in general. You have Wisconsin playing MSU. Should be a pretty decent game. Other than that, there's not really any big challenges for your top 25 other than, again, Stanford-Oregon. Stanford is number 9, Oregon ranked number 4. And if I had to look at that game, break it down, going by just previous weeks and players and so forth, I'm going to have to go for the number 9 Stanford Cardinals to beat the Oregon Ducks. There'll be a lot of people disagreeing with that, but I'd have to go for Stanford on that one.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one, Kevin. I think Oregon's going to have too much dominance, too much power, in that particular game. One game I do want you to break down is that Alabama-Florida State game. That's going to be on prime time tonight. We want to make sure that we have an opportunity to break that game down. So one thing I want to do on that is have you to break that game down. Boys and girls, I have got to break ship right now. But, Kevin, go on into
yes,
this.
Sir.
Break down some MLB. I know they want to hear about those Phillies and some World Series predictions coming up. And then also your infamous NASCAR. You got the last 15 minutes of the show. Don't disappoint me, my young grasshopper.
Oh, yes, Daniel, son. I will not disappoint
All right.
you.
All right. We'll see you.
Yeah, have a good one, brother. What we're looking at right now, I just want to say welcome to those in our chat room also. Yogun27 just asked, he needs to start two people, Misham, North Washington, Britt, or Lee Evans. Who should I choose? I would say go with Evans. And Misham, myself, have those choices. As we were saying, you know, you do have baseball coming up, pennant races going. Atlanta, they really got to watch themselves right now. Their magic number is two. They're not out of it. They still have a chance. But last night my Phillies came up, and thanks to Jimmy Rollinson, it is good to see some of my Philadelphia players back. On board, we finally have a healthy team back on the field, and that grand slam by Jimmy Rollins is a good sign for the Philadelphia Phillies fans, you know, out there. So right now, what we're looking at with the baseball National League, I'm looking at your definites in there right now for the National League. Obviously, in the National League East is Philadelphia, Cincinnati in the Central, and that's the only lockout so far. Right now, San Francisco and San Diego, it's in a pretty tight battle. There's only a one-game difference there. And, of course, that's going to go back and lead into your wild card, where in the National League you have Atlanta up. Their magic number is two. Over San Diego, and then St. Louis is six games back. So what it's looking at right now is if San Francisco holds out and wins the West, then it's going to come down between Atlanta and San Diego for the wild card. If San Diego can come up and beat San Francisco, what we're looking at is basically San Francisco would be one game back. No, let me correct that. Atlanta would be one game back from San Francisco. So Atlanta needs to win those two games and clinch that playoff spot. And I know what that is like with being a Phillies fan. We had a magic number three. We hit a slid, and now the boys are back in town. American League is pretty good right now. You got Yankees, Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay might surprise some people, and when it comes down to it, I'm looking at Tampa Bay and Philadelphia in the World Series. And, of course, everybody knows who I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for those Philadelphia Phillies. The other thing we wanted to break down today was we wanted to talk a little bit of NASCAR. We don't have a whole lot of time on the show to do that. Of course, Clint Bowyer, those of you that know what was going on there, did appeal the points and so forth. Unfortunately for Clint Bowyer, NASCAR upheld the 150 points chase. Should say 150 point reduction in the chase. So his chase fate is pretty much sealed. Clint Bowyer, unfortunately, really good driver. Classy guy, doesn't really have a chance anymore for a shot at winning the chase. This week they are in Kansas, where Denny Hamlin and several of the chase drivers. Love that track. Denny Hamlin coming into the race in first in points, did not win the pole. A surprise to a lot of people probably is Kasey Kahne won the pole. Excuse me, folks. Sorry about that. But Kasey Kahne won the pole. Your top ten is Kahne, Menard. Yes, dude. Kasey Kahne first, Paul Menard second. Names you don't really hear up near the top very often. And then, of course, my driver, Jeff Gordon, starts third. Joey Logano, fourth. Greg Biffle, fifth. Another Indiana boy, Ryan Newman, starts sixth. Juan Montoya, seventh. Matt Kenseth, eighth. Kurt Busch, ninth. And David Reagan, tenth. Points leader, Denny Hamlin, starts 12th. And Jimmy Johnson starts 21st. So, and Tony Stewart, 14th for those Indiana fans. You know, the drivers still have to stay focused. It is nine races left in the chase. There's still a lot of room to go. However, they also know that consistency will not win them a championship. It's going to take wins. Unfortunately, you know, for somebody like Jeff Gordon, didn't have some rough times last week. So he fell from fourth to eighth, only 83 points back. But if he does not start getting some wins, it's definitely going to be some problems. For perfect example, Jimmy Johnson won last week, jumped 4 points, and is only 35 points behind in the chase. So wins are crucial right now, as there is. You know, we have 28 out of 36 races done and complete. So the boys need to step up and put some cards on the table. However, they also realize that they can't be frugal and lose themselves or knock themselves out of chase, for example, like Clint Boyer's team did. Next year, there's going to be a lot of changes to the chase as well as, I think, just in general NASCAR. They've realized that the chase is a good thing, but they definitely need to tweak it. One of the things that they plan on doing is going back to the where your top 12 in your chase will basically have different, I won't say rankings than the others, but the top 12 will finish 12. Based on where they finish, not amongst each other, not where they finish amongst the 45 drivers. So if you are in a chase and you finish 31st, you will get points as the 12th place car, for example, if the other 11 finish in front of you, vice points for 31st place. So that is going to definitely, I think, keep it a little bit tighter because, unfortunately, you will have some teams that will block for each other based on who is and who isn't in the chase. In other words, if you have one driver, for example, Kevin Harvick in the chase and his teammate's not, if I was Kevin Harvick's teammate and one another chase driver is coming up alongside me, I'm going to block them and I'm going to do everything I can to not let them pass me, which is racing. That's what they're supposed to do. Unfortunately, though, for the guys in the points chase, sometimes that doesn't work out quite as well as they need to finish based on situations like that. So we're definitely looking good. I look forward to Kansas. 1 o'clock on Sunday is when that will be. Of course, you got Danica Patrick coming into the Nationwide, and I believe she is going to try to qualify this week and go ahead and get into the race. For those of you that follow racing, that's a mixed story. Some people are glad she's in it. Some aren't. You know, so to each their own on that. I will say that when it comes to the finance side, I know Nationwide's to have Pete Haver there. because every time Danica races, you have ratings skyrocket compared to when she is not there. So it's definitely, you know, again, it's a good thing for the racing side, bad thing for those that don't like her attitude or just don't like women in racing in general. Personally, I don't have a problem with it, but I do know some people that do. We also wanted to, again, go back to some college football, and I know we're going back and trying to talk about some things we have before, but today is college football day. You know, Saturdays, it is football season, and Saturdays are meant for college football, and Sundays are meant for that professional football. So the big games, again, we already talked about one of them. The other big game, Florida and Alabama. It's in Alabama, and I'll tell you right now, this is going to be a good football game. You know, the one reality is this, though. As far as the BCS and the national championship picture, tonight's game doesn't have a really big effect on that. Whoever wins doesn't guarantee them the spot, no matter who it is, into the championship picture. And again, and the loser, vice versa, is not knocked out of it. Alabama could lose or Florida could lose tonight and still, at the end of the year, have a chance to play in the national championship. So it is, and they could face each other for the league title at the end of the season. So tonight's game isn't a do or die for either team. I think tonight's game breaks down more into the pride of your Southern teams and who's going to take it. They're pretty evenly ranked in a lot of areas. But then there's somewhere it is nowhere close to each other. Alabama has the edge in pretty much everything there is. The closest thing is points, where you're looking at, one is ranked 15th, Alabama, and Florida is ranked 20th. Alabama is a 39-point average. Florida is a 37. So other than that, though, you got rushing yards. Alabama has averages 245 a game. Florida only 169. Passing, Florida only ranked, has 190. Alabama, 278. And then, of course, total yards is 511 in the favor of Alabama. The Florida is 354. So Florida definitely needs to do some things and prove themselves tonight. I think it's more of what Florida is looking at than national championship. I think it's more of to prove that they are what they consider themselves, a powerhouse, like they were when they won the national championship. So you have a lot of things going on. This isn't Tim Tebow anymore running the show down in Florida, so it's definitely going to be a good game. I look forward to it. So I would definitely, if I was you, go ahead and check that game out. Check all your college games out. And, enjoy some sports on today and relax and have a good time. Get that grill started. Enjoy it. And make sure that it is a day that you can remember some good college football. Thank you for joining us on The Balance. Please come on, listen to us, and get on the chat. Call us up. Send us questions. We'd like to talk to you. We want to hear what you have to say.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you? That's all, folks.